This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Veronica Rickert.
Time now for our state news roundup with news guy Noah Ovshinsky. He also answers to the title Assistant News Director. Noah, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Well, big news in the governor's race, a new jobs plan from the challenger, a Democrat, Mary Burke. What does it look like?
Right. So this was something that certainly the press was waiting for. The Walker campaign had been criticizing the Burke campaign because they hadn't released a jobs plan yet. And that was, in fact, released this week. There weren't a lot of specifics. The plan really just sort of lays out what her goals are more than anything else as far as job creation is concerned.
It's more mission statement stuff as opposed to practical legislation, say, that might be introduced.
Exactly. And really the headline for this story, if there was one, was that unlike Governor Walker, she shied away from providing a specific number of jobs she wanted to create and instead simply said that she wanted the state to rank in the top 10 among states for economic growth. Governor Walker has been criticized over the course of the last few years because it's not looking like he's going to make his goal that he set for himself of helping the state create 250,000 jobs by the end of his first term.
Before we get into some of the details, such as they are, of Mary Burke's plan, I mean, you're kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't. You can be criticized from either side for not having a plan, but then once you put a paper out there, you've given lots of specific ammunition that the other side can key in on.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, jobs are going to be, if not the theme of this campaign, one of the major themes in the coming months. And so it was just a matter of time before this plan was going to be released.
So looking to be in the top 10 list for economic growth, what did Mary Burke call for? What were the main themes?
Yeah, she wants to direct the state resources to specific clusters of industries. And when I say clusters, I mean these are businesses that produce similar products. They use the same supply chain, that sort of thing. We're talking about the paper industry or agricultural machinery, both of those very big industries in Wisconsin.
And, we won't ever probably be as specific industry focused as, say, the auto industry and all the supporting industries in Michigan, but just trying to develop that kind of regional strength, I guess?
Exactly. And build on the momentum that we already have as a state in these specific industries.
Gotcha. And not suddenly make us the leading Alpenhorn producer for the world.
Exactly.
Okay. Other highlights of Mary Burke's plan.
Yeah. She also talked a little bit about college education. She said that in her plan that she'd like college education to be more affordable for students in Wisconsin, and that's sort of as a way of increasing the number of college graduates and thus the number of people who can enter the workforce in this sort of modern economy. She also talked about the need to grow the state's base of entrepreneurs. Again, not really a specific strategy, but a goal. Also under that category is something she included in her jobs plan, that is to increase Wisconsin's global exports, which she has identified as a goal and, frankly, is probably a goal and would be of a goal of any governor
any
in Wisconsin
governor, right,
in any state in this country.
Well, what is the response from the current governor, her opponent in the upcoming election?
Sure. So the Walker campaign, of course, responded, and it basically was a continuation of arguably the biggest message they are trying to get across, which is that Mary Burke is a return to the failed policies of the past. They've gone, in the last several months, gone to great lengths and will continue to go to great lengths to link her to former Governor Doyle, whose administration she worked in.
You know, when all is said and done, governors, candidates talk a lot about how they are going to try and change the economy. Do governors, is there a consensus that governors make that much difference?
Yeah, good question. So all of what we just talked about, all of that being said, many economists will tell you that governors in both parties, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, that at the end of the day, they actually can do very little to create jobs or improve the economy, that it's largely forces beyond their control that really affect things like job creation and the overall state of the economy. You know, that's the reality according to these economists. Of course, we're talking about politics. So, job creation matters, and it has been and will continue to be really a major theme in this race, whether or not at the end of the day, whether Governor Walker or candidate Burke can actually, affect the job creation in the state.
Well, let's keep talking about politics with the newest edition of the Marquette University Law School poll from Charles Franklin. What are we seeing in the race for governor in that survey?
Right. So this latest poll showed that the race for governor hasn't really changed all that much. And that actually tells you a few things. And I'll throw out a few numbers just so that our audience, when I say it hasn't really changed, they have some numbers to go with. And according to this poll, Governor Walker is 7 points ahead of Mary Burke, 48% to 41%. What's interesting is that those numbers have held steady despite the fact that both sides are now beginning to air ads, which have a tendency to make a dent in these kinds of numbers. So a little surprising that maybe those numbers haven't changed since the last poll, or at least haven't changed dramatically. You know, now those ads, as well as campaign stops, will only grow in number, of course, in the coming months. So I expect at least some movement as we move into the summer and early fall.
Well, let's look at how people are looking at the candidates. First, Mary Burke. What do people think of her? Do people think of her so far?
Right. That's good. Right. And you characterized it just the right way. The poll did reveal some interesting things about each candidate. For Mary Burke, 19% of people had a favorable view of Burke, while 22% had an unfavorable view. Now,
carry the one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, now you add those up and it doesn't even come close to 100% or even 50%. So that means there are a lot of people out there who don't know enough about Burke to have an opinion one way or the other.
So she's not a household name. In that position, a candidate, what are they trying to do to introduce themselves
name
to people?
Name recognition. That is the name of the game to some extent. Obviously, you know, the governor has the benefit of being an incumbent. You know, his name is out there. He's in the news every day. Mary Burke has not been in the news for a long time. So really, the goal for her and her campaign is to get out on the campaign trail, get out into every area of the state, and introduce her to the rest of the state, because really they have to define her in the eyes of those, say, 50%+ of people who don't have an opinion. It's their job to define Mary Burke for them. If they don't do it, the Walker campaign certainly will try their best to control the message and affect what those 50%+ of people have to think or the way that they think about Mary Burke.
And then what about Scott Walker? I believe the survey asked people, how's he doing? How's his job of performance?
Yeah, so this was also interesting. In January, 51% approved of how Walker handled his job and 42% disapproved. Now, in this latest poll, 47% approved and 47% disapproved of the way he's handled his job. So, you know, his job handling, you know, percentage, that's on a downward trend. Not much, but it's still downward. And it's early, but that's probably a bit of a red flag for his campaign.
Any other highlights of the survey outside of that matchup?
Yeah, two other questions that I found to be illustrative as far as, you know, where the state currently is. They also had to be making their way through the courts as we speak right now. So two very relevant issues. One is the poll found that 60% favor a voter ID law. That's a law that's currently being litigated right now. And 72% of those polled support either gay marriage or civil unions. 24% said there should be no legal status for gay couples. Again, another issue that's currently being fought out in court. So, you know, as rulings come down in these cases, which could happen this year, you know, these are very helpful numbers to keep in mind to put it all in context.
All right. And then finally, Governor Walker signed some of the legislation that's been coming out of the end days of this session. He's got some election-related action that he signed.
Yeah. So some significant news for voters, especially in Milwaukee and Madison, and Democrats in particular. Governor Walker signed into law legislation this week that ends weekend voting. And, you know, since taking office, Walker has slowly, and the legislature, has whittled away at this kind of voting. Before he took office, it was allowed on 3 weekends. The last legislative session, he and Republican lawmakers shrunk that to 1 weekend, and now no weekend voting will be allowed.
That's how it came through the legislature. Did he tweak that law in any way?
Yeah, he did. He used his veto power to partially veto a provision that would have limited early voting to 45 hours a week. The hours in which voting can take place is still limited, though, to between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m. So the veto had the practical effect of increasing the amount of hours to 55 per week.
And so what are the arguments for and against here?
Right. So critics argue that this kind of legislation is a form of voter suppression, that they're just trying to minimize the number of voters who go to the polls and vote Democratic, because it's largely Madison and Milwaukee who take advantage of this kind of early voting, and they largely swing Democratic. Republicans, on the other side, though, argue that, you know, this is about equalizing access to the polls, that, you know, just because Madison and Milwaukee have early voting, you know, doesn't mean other places in the, around the state can have it as well. And so this is about sort of equalizing the playing field.
Well, in the $10,000 pyramid category, things that will end up in courts that you mentioned earlier, this is probably one of them.
Absolutely. This is not the end of the story. The liberal group One Wisconsin Now says they are exploring their legal options. So at the end of the day, like a lot of the controversial legislation that has been passed in recent years, you know, this too may end up in court.
Is there a sense of public opinion on this?
Yeah. So according to the latest Marquette University poll, which we talked about earlier in the interview, 66% were in favor of early voting that included at least one weekend, if not more. At least based on this poll, you know, it seems like the legislation that was just signed into law by the governor and supported by the legislature, that it, you know, goes against public opinion or the majority of voters in the state.
All right. Another one to watch as we move ahead toward the election. Noah, thanks for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Noah Ovshinsky is WPR's assistant news director. He joins us each week at this time to bring us up to date on the latest news from around Wisconsin.
Coming up, a new book makes the case that atheists have made major contributions to human history and progress. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Remember, you can keep up with Central Time on our Facebook page. We are Central Time on WPR, on Twitter, at Central Time WPR. Stick around, there's more to come. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.